All right, brother and sister. You know, sometime throughout the week, especially as a preacher, we can just be going along or listening to something or say something that would actually end up sparking a message. Because the truth is, men of God are always looking for a word.
Yes.
And that's seeking God to speak to God's people.
Amen.
You know, something that's definitely going to edify and be a benefit to the body.
Amen.
And today, we're going to hear a message on sometimes you have to encourage yourself.
Amen.
Amen. I mean, sometimes you have to encourage yourself. Can y'all receive that?
And I
hope today, after we get finished with this message, that we'll understand that.
Amen.
Is that right?
Amen.
There are things that happen in life where no one will stand with you.
Right.
And it seems like you have to stand and be all by yourself.
Right.
But sometimes you have to encourage yourself.
Amen.
People want your head. They want you dead. Is that right?
Yeah.
And the earth is not big enough for you or them.
That's right. Right.
But sometimes you have to encourage yourself.
Amen.
There are people right among you that will seem like that they are the same Christians in the same Christian journey, in the same Christian fight that you are. And you never know anything about people until the trial, the tribulation, and the test has come to try the faith that we say we have. And you're really not going to know anything about people until after a battle has been won.
Amen.
Now, isn't that something?
Yeah.
Everybody go, wait a minute, Pastor. Now, what do you mean? Well, we got a story. Remember, I told you, everything that is going on in this life, everything that pertaineth to life, right now, in this particular realm right here, it's all in the book. We just have to have the eyes to see.
Amen.
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 I have learned in life that you grow by your experiences.
Yes.
Is that right?
Amen.
Is anybody here old enough to say that?
Yes, sir.
Anybody here old enough to say amen?
Amen.
I have learned in life that you grow by your experiences and the things that you went through and gone through and had and been through. Is that right? I have learned that they should be the means by you use as a stepping stone to go up higher.
Yeah, right.
Not to allow them to hold you down and to stay down, but they should be something that you learn from to keep you and help you to go on.
Yeah.
Is that right? I have learned that you should learn from your mistakes. And do not let them be your downfall or your means to turn your back on God, but let them be the means that you turn back to God.
Yes.
Amen.
Yes.
Amen. And we're going to have to learn how to give God thanks in all of our trials.
Yes.
In all of our tribulations, all of our persecutions, all of our afflictions, knowing this, that they are the means for our perfections. Now, I think, brothers and sisters, too many times we get into trials and tribulations and persecutions, and we forget that these are the means to perfect us.
Amen.
And these are the times, more than anything, that we need encouragement.
Amen.
And I can tell you real quick, fast, in a hurry, don't be looking for somebody next to you to bring encouragement when you're going through.
Yeah.
Amen? Amen. We're going to learn about how that David had to encourage himself.
Yeah.
Because the whole nation that was with him and all the people that were following him, they all wanted his head.
Yeah.
Amen. They wanted to stone him. But David had to encourage himself.
Yeah.
Amen. And we're going to learn something today in this. I hope you have the ears to hear. Now, how do you know that God is a deliverer unless you've been bound? How do you know he's a healer unless you've been sick? And how do you know that God answered prayers unless you ask him for something and it come to pass? And how do you know that God speaks unless he is speaking to you? Hmm? And how do you know that God set folk free unless you've been bound yourself? Amen. And how do you know that he'll never leave you or forsake you unless the world has come down on you? All your friends have left you, but there's one who has been a friend that stick closer than a brother. Jesus has always been there.
Amen.
How do you know that he is God unless you trust him?
Amen.
Jude 1:20 says, but ye beloved, building up yourselves on the most holy faith, praying in the Holy Ghost. You see, there's a means whereby that we can build up ourselves and edify ourselves. In 1 Corinthians 14, it says that he that prayeth in an unknown tongue, he that speaketh in an unknown tongue, speaketh not unto man, but unto God.
Yes.
For no man understandeth him, howbeit in the spirit he speaketh mystery. Is that right?
Yes.
That's what the Bible says now. See, God has a prescribed way that we all to come to him. Is that right?
Yes.
The Bible says you're going to build up yourself by praying in the Holy Ghost.
Yes. Yes.
I said praying in the Holy Ghost, brothers and sisters. Praying in the Holy Ghost. The Bible even says that tongues are means by edifying. Is that right? A building up yourself. Is that right? Is that right? Now, we're going to be over in the book of 1 Samuel. We're going to highlight a few over in chapter 30. That's going to be the main part of what we're going to be speaking about here today. But let me give you an outline of the story here. You see, there was a time in Israel that David fled from before Saul. And he sought refuge with the Philistines. And he dwelt with the Philistines for about a year and 4 months. And he dwelt with King Agash of Gath. Now, this King Agash gave David the province of Ziklag, which was a town of Judah. And David remained there in Ziklag until the death of Saul. Now, David showing his gratitude and his faithfulness towards this Philistine king, he went to the Girgashites and the Amalekites and the Gerarites, and he killed every man and woman that was around the providences of the Philistines. And when David had did this, it had pleased the king of Gath, which so happened to be King Agash, who he was submitting himself to. And the king had said the words that, you know what? You've done this, David. Now you all have made yourself an abhorrence amongst Israel. Meaning them folks hate you now. But guess what? You're favored in my eyes. You see what's going on? Because you remember all before then, Saul was seeking David's head. Is that right? Saul wanted David's head. Now, it came time for the Philistines and Israel to fight. And you remember this is long about the time that Saul went and inquired of the witch of Endor.
Yes.
About what to do because he couldn't hear from God by vision nor by dream.
Yes.
And there was no prophet around to even speak to him because Samuel had passed on.
Right.
Is that right?
Amen.
Now what had happened was, is that the time that the Philistines was getting themselves together to go out in the fight against Israel, just like normally armies would do before they would go before a war, is that they would have this great big gathering around, and then all the armies would have like this pass and review thing. Now, the pass and review is where the dignitaries, the leaders of the countries would actually come, and they would kind of set up in the grandstands. And then all the armies would pass before them so they can actually see the manpower and the might that they had. And they was in the time of one of these pass and review things. Now, King Ahash, what he had did was he told David, I want you to get behind me and your men behind my army. And when the Philistine kings and the princes of the Philistines saw this, they were very sore and very wroth with King Ahash. And the reason being is because, you see, even though David had found grace and had found favor amongst this Philistine king, and they had the type of relationship that was very trustworthy towards each other. You follow me? Because now you got to understand, David is asking this king right here, can I go to war with you against Israel? Did y'all hear what I said?
Yeah.
David is actually, hey, I'm going to war with you against Israel. Because you remember, hey, Israel had already rejected David, who is to be. I'm not saying who was to be, who already was, because God had already rejected Saul. But who is to be king of Israel? Do y'all understand? And what happened was is that King Agash went and spoke to the princes of the Philistines. And the princes of Philistine were mad at King Agash. And the reason why they was mad at him, because they said, wait a minute. Is not this that same David that people used to get together and say, Saul has killed his thousands and David has killed his 10,000. How do we know that when we get down in the heat of battle that he's not going to turn around upon us and start smiting us? We don't like this now. We ain't going for this. And King Ahab said, wait a minute, this man's got favor in my eyes and stuff. He ain't going to do nothing like that. He's faithful. In all his house, this man's faithful right here. And so King Ahaz has actually went and break the news to David and say, you know, you can't go down with us to the battle. Amen. Against Israel. But I tell you what you do. You go ahead and go back home to Ziklag. And we're going to fight this battle for ourselves. Yeah. And David said, what have I done? What evil have I done in your sight? O king, you see, that's why I say before you can even be any good leader, you first have to learn how to be a follower. You first have to learn how to be a follower. Because if you can remember, before David even became king of Israel, there were people who already God had touched and started sending them to David. So David had a little small army within himself. He already had a little army. And so as David went back to Ziklag, he had done found out that the Amalekites done came and done raided his home, took his wives, took all the men's wives that was with him, and took their cattle and everything and burned Ziklag to the ground. And the Bible goes on to say that, and I want you to turn with me to 1 Samuel, the 30th chapter, I want you to see there. And I'm going to start the first verse of the 30th chapter of 1 Samuel. And it came to pass when David and his men were come to Ziklag on the third day, that the Amalekites had invaded the south and Ziklag and smitten Ziklag and burned it with fire. Yes. And had taken the women captive that were therein. They slew not any, neither great nor small, but carry them away. So you see, they didn't kill anything. They just took everything. Yeah. But they burned Ziklag to the ground. Is that right? And went their way. So David and his men came to the city, and behold, it was burned with fire. And their wives and their sons and their daughters were taken captives. Did y'all hear that? And their wives and their sons and their daughters taken captives. Because there was no men there. Because they were all with David. Out here with King Agash, with the Philistines, getting ready to prepare themselves to go fight against Israel. Yeah. So they took everything else that was there. And if there had been men there, the Amalekites would have killed them.
That's right.
But they was all out with David. Now watch this. Now I want y'all to see the spirit of the matter of this story right here, okay?
Amen.
Are y'all following me right now?
Yes.
Are y'all following me?
Yes.
Amen. Now look at this. I'm going to read on. So David and his men came to the city, and behold, it was burned with fire, and their wives and their sons and their daughters were taken captive. Then David and the people that were with him lifted up their voice and wept until they had no more power to weep. Do you understand? I mean, he's coming back to a very distressful time right here. You got to understand. I mean, come on, men. Let's say we're getting ready to go out to war here. Are you following me? Or we're over here and we're submitting to this king over here, and he's giving us refuge to be able to dwell in his land peacefully. You follow me? And the way they made pacts then was by blood.
Yeah.
And the pact then that David made with King Agash was, I'll show you what I'm going to do, show you how faithful I am to you. I'm just going to kill all these people around you. And that way there ain't going to be no inroads to get into you.
Amen.
And so that was pleasing to him, man. And they had a good relationship. David didn't go and try to usurp the authority of their king. The only people that was in doubt was the people who didn't know him.
Right. Amen.
Amen. So they're coming back, and they're here in Ziklag. And David is sitting up here looking at this, and all the men are coming back. And you think, hey, your sons and your daughters are gone. Your wives are gone. The whole, your homes are burned. I mean, can you imagine all the things that would actually go through your mind? That would actually race through your mind. How do you know if they're alive or not? The Bible said that it hit them so hard that they didn't even have any strength after they got finished weeping. They were crying so hard until they couldn't cry no more. You ever been into a place where you done cried so much till you can't even drop a tear even though you're crying? That was the mind that they were in. You talking about heaviness upon a people. You talking about a people that is hurting. Now I want you to, this is a very interesting turns of events right here that you need to watch, because you need to watch very carefully what happened to the spirit inside of these men who's supposed to be following David. Because mind you, they had already had God speak to them in their spirits and in their hearts and say, now this is the man of God. This is going to be the next king of Israel. You follow him. I want you to see the spirits. I want you to see everything that was really working deep down inside these men right here. The fifth verse said, and David's two wives were taken captive, and Hanun and the Jezreelite, and Abigag, the wife of Nabal, the Carmelite. And David was greatly distressed, for the people spake of stoning him. Can you imagine that? Here you are, people that have fought with David, have bled with David. Now their homes are gone, their wives are gone, their sons are gone, their daughters are gone, their cattle is gone, their livelihood is gone. And they come back home with this David who they left everything to follow, and now they want to stone him. Now they want to stone him. Woo-hoo. Did y'all hear what I said? Now, this is the time where the hearts of men are being tried. You got to understand, these men left Saul to follow David. Now they're following David, and they end up losing everything they had. Amen. And they were so mad at David after they got finished weeping and stuff that they wanted to stone and kill him. Now, all this is going to end up making sense. The reason why David always smote any man that rose up against God's anointed, no matter how good it looked or how pleasing, or no matter what deed they thought they were doing so good. There are some very important things we can learn from his story, brothers and sisters. People are flighty. When things don't run the way they think that it ought to run, the real them comes out. Can you say amen?
Amen.
You find out the real intent why they are with you. Those who you think are with you will want to kill you. Uh-oh. No wonder the Bible tells us to know our hearts. To ask God to know, to try us. And we need to know ourselves, brothers and sisters. You're going to have to learn how to go to the high priest,
amen.
Jesus,
amen.
And ask for your ephod.
Yes.
The ephod just happened to be your priestly garment,
yes,
your righteousness. And you're going to have to learn how to encourage yourself, because there's going to come a time that ain't nobody going to stand with you.
Right.
And you're going to have to learn how to encourage yourself. Now, I want you to see the actions of David right here, all right? And you're going to have to inquire the Lord. Now, I want you to listen very closely, all right? Sixth verse, and David was greatly distressed, for the people spake of stoning him, because the soul of all the people was grieved. Every man for his sons and for his daughters, but David encouraged himself. Now, I know you don't understand what it means by encouraged, but also I'm going to tell you what it means. That means in spite of the situation, in spite of circumstance, David had to block out everything that was coming his way. He had to actually get mad at the people that were mad at him just so he could keep his face towards God.
Yeah.
You see, because if he started letting all these things start to hit him and affect him and stuff, he wouldn't be able to go and do God's will. So David had to put aside all this stuff, and he had to set his face a flint towards the throne, and he had to encourage himself. I don't know, he might have danced. I don't know, he might have went somewhere and shouted. I don't know what he did, but whatever you got to do to encourage yourself, you better find out what it is, and you better start doing it. Because David ain't got nobody around here to pat him on his back. Everybody talking about stoning him now. I'm talking about the very people who said they were with him, now they want to kill him. You going to learn how to encourage yourself.
Yes, right.
Amen. Let's see what else David did. Because this is direction for us today, the church. In a time that we live in now, when God says that men are going to leave you and forsake you, but he said, I'm going to be with you always, even until the end of the world. You want to learn how to put on your ephod. You want to learn how to go to the high priest. You want to learn how to get that garment of righteousness. You want to learn how to keep be clothed in it. And you want to keep it on you. So when it comes in time for you to inquire the Lord, he'll give you direction and tell you what to do. In the midst of everybody already wanting to kill you and wanting to stone, you got to learn how to encourage yourself. I think today one of our biggest problems is we're looking for too many people to be on our side. And when we do that, we're not looking for the Lord. Because, who's on the Lord's side? That's where it should be. Amen. I'm telling you, we can learn something from this story today, brothers and sisters. We can learn something. I'm telling you, we really can. But David encouraged himself in the Lord his God. And David said to Abiathar, the priest, Amalek's son, I pray thee, bring me hither an ephod. There go your priestly garment right there. Amen. And Abiathar brought thither the ephod to David. And David inquired at the Lord, saying, shall, you see, now he's inquiring. In other words, what shall I do, God? Huh? Shall I pursue after this troop? Shall I overtake them? And he answered him, pursue. See, so the Lord, he don't need to tell you a whole sentence. He don't need to give you a big old plan. He don't need, come on, God. He need to say one word, and that's all you need to know right there. One word, that's all you need. See, I think today, brothers and sisters, rather than going and trying to seek for man for answers, I think we ought to seek our God. I still say, and I hold the fact, that there's only one high priest that's seated at the right hand of the Father, whoever liveth and maketh intercession for those who are his people. Amen. So don't tell me that God's ear is too short that he can't hear. The truth is, you ain't inquiring of him. David is in a time that he ain't got no friends no more. There ain't nobody sticking beside him. David's encouraging himself. And see, this is the pattern right here. He went to the high priest and got his garment. And your garment is the righteousness of the saints. In other words, you make sure you live right. You keep yourself in the love of God. You keep that righteous. You keep yourself clothed in God right. So when it comes time for you to speak to him, you can get an answer expediently. Our trouble today is that we ain't living right. And we're looking for everybody else's approval rather than God's approval. But if you're living right and you're God's anointed, you ain't got to look to man. You can look to God. That's what we need today, brothers. We need to learn how to look to God. And what we're learning from this so far, you keep your garment right. Yes. Don't allow any spots to come on your garment right there at all. Amen. You keep yourself held before God. Amen. Hey, even though who seem to be with you may not have the same spirit as you do, you will find out that a lot of people just flat out selfish. Amen. And they're not serving God, but they're serving Belial.
Yeah.
Yes, sir. Yes, ma'am. But I want you to see that God said, pursue, for thou shalt surely overtake them and without fail recover all. Now, you don't mean to tell me you ain't got no direction from there? If God said pursue, I mean pursue. God say you're going to overtake, you will overtake. God say you're going to recover all, you will recover all. Now, that's one thing we learned from David that he said in the psalm. He said, I've been young and now I'm old. I've never seen the righteous forsaken, nor is he begging for bread. And we got story after story after story after story. When righteous men had everything stripped from them, God never left them, never forsaken. Job stripped of everything, but God was right there and rewarded him double what he had. Here's another example right here of David right here going there. Hey, the Amalekites had came and smitten Ziklag. David had encouraged himself. He inquired of the Lord. He went and recovered everything that the Amalekites had took. Not only that, he took everything the Amalekites had too, and he got a double portion. Glory. Glory. I'm telling you, the Bible says that they that know their God, they'll be strong and they'll be mighty and they'll do exploits. We got examples in the scriptures right here that hey, it tells us everything we need to do. We got an instruction book on everything we need to have. All we need to do is know God in the beauty of holiness, in the fellowship of his suffering. We need to know him through prayer and through fasting. We need to know him through seeking his face. We need to know him in spending time with him in a personal relationship. How in the world can somebody say they love God and walk around 24 hours a day, 7 days a week with a spirit of heaviness on him? There's no way. You got to learn how to encourage yourself. You got to learn how to build up yourself in the most holy faith. Praying in the Holy Ghost. You got to learn how to get a hold of God. You make your house, which is your body, a temple of the Holy Ghost. Your house, your body, is a house of prayer. Hallelujah. Amen. Don't tell me about the temple because you are the temple. Amen. Now I'm telling you, brothers and sisters, you want to encourage yourself. Don't be looking for son or daughter, husband or wife, friend or foe, niece or nephew, cousin or aunt, grandmama or granddaddy, preacher or teacher. Don't look for nobody to encourage you but you, yourself. And then after you get encouraged, go seek God. Amen. 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 The Bible don't say that they that know their pastors shall be strong and mighty. They that know their brother shall be strong and mighty. They that know their husband shall be strong and mighty. They that know their wife shall be strong and mighty. They that know their grandmama shall be strong and mighty. They that know the deacon, the preacher, the teacher that shall be strong and mighty. It said that they that know their God. That's who's going to be strong. That's who's going to be mighty. And I'm telling you, if there's anything we can learn from this today, we're going to learn how to encourage ourselves. Amen. We're going to learn how to not look at situations and circumstances, no matter how distressful, no matter how downtrodden they may be, no matter how it seems like your spirit has fell to the ground. You got to learn how to encourage yourself. You got to learn how to muster up and stir up the gift of God that is deep down inside of you. Amen. It's just the truth, brother and sister. Now, remember I said, hey, it was amazing to me that they were still able to follow David. And still to go down to pursue to take everything because they wanted to kill him. Now, I want to show you something, see, because this is a matter where you can learn a lot about yourself, brother and sister. Huh? I said that even those who seem to be with you may not have the same spirit as you do. You're going to find out the ones that have the selfish spirit. You're going to find out the ones that have the hearts that are after Belial while they say they're serving God. But you ain't going to find out before the battle. You're going to find out after the battle. You'll find out after you have won the battle, the hearts of man. Did y'all hear what I said? I said, you ain't going to find out before the battle. You ain't going to find out in the midst of the battle. You're going to find out after the battle. So what David did is he went on down to the Amalekites. Took all the men with him. And as they went, 200 some men fell fainting away. So David said, I tell you what we're going to do. We're going to leave our supplies here with you and y'all guard this. Did y'all hear what I said? Because this is a very important part of the story. He said, we're going to leave about 200 of you right here. You guard the stuff right here. We're going to leave it with you. We're going to guard it. We're going to go on to battle. And what had happened was David took all the rest of the men with him. They went down to the battle. Why is it that in our spirits, and I hope you can answer me, that if we're together and joined together in one body and one soul, why does it always seem like that the people who seem like that they're doing the most always want the most? Boy, it's getting quiet in here now, ain't it? Why is it that is in our spirit that if you didn't go to the battle, if you didn't go to the war, that you shouldn't get the spoils? Why do we think that way? Why is it that if we're in garrison or halfway in between garrison watching the supplies, why do we think that our job is not so important? What kind of spirit is inside of us? If we win, we all win. If we lose, we all lose. What in the world is going on with the mindsets of people today? I'm talking about in the church. Because you go on down in this story, you're going to find out that after they had finished and conquered the Amalekites and got everything back. Because you understand, the Amalekites, they're having a heyday of a party. They're having a headache because before all this even took place, David went down and smote the Amalekites.
Amen.
He had smote all of them. He had smote them, and then they gathered themselves back up together again. And then while David was all over here with King Agag, they over here destroying Ziklag.
Amen.
Amen. That's, you know, it's one of my principles is that whenever we go somewhere, I always leave a few men behind. Uh-oh. Anybody ever notice that?
Yes.
Oh, boy. Y'all ain't never noticed that?
Uh-huh.
I never have this land with all the men off of it at once.
Nope.
Y'all ain't never noticed that over the years. I never do that.
Nope.
I never do that. All that, just leave a few men.
Yeah.
Young or old, makes no difference.
Amen.
You got to understand, sometimes, brothers and sisters, everybody's not meant to go to war.
Amen.
If we read our Bibles, we'll study, even in the days of Moses, that everybody couldn't go to war.
Amen.
Amen. That was something that wasn't of a willing heart to go to war.
Right.
But then there's some, like people like Brother Rich, man, let's go to war.
Amen.
Huh? They got that spirit. Let's fight. Yes, sir.
Amen.
Yes, man. But then there's some like Brother Roger. Well, brother, I'd rather stay here.
Amen.
I mean, not that I'm a coward or nothing, but I would just, you know, I would rather stay here than go. But Brother Rich, man, let's go to war.
Amen.
I want to know
Amen. What
is wrong.
Yeah.
With us today. And you need to ask that question of yourself.
Amen.
If we are a tribe and a nation of one, why is it that we seem, when it seems like we put different precedents and different types of, hey, we esteem this as great and this is lesser and this is not, so therefore it can't all be important.
You're telling
her right. Amen. Somebody say
amen. Amen.
Uh-oh. Boy, we learn anything about ourselves?
Yeah. Amen.
We learn anything about ourselves? See, because, you know, I tell you what kind of spirit that's going to send out.
Amen.
The ones that go to the war and conquer and get back in battle. And if they got the spirit on them, well, the ones who stay behind didn't do nothing and don't give them nothing. How you think it's going to make them folks behind, stay behind for you?
Amen.
How you think they don't care about their fear because they're too selfish?
Yes.
They said they got some wicked hearts. And we're going to find out how wicked the heart is.
Yes. Amen.
And sometimes I tell you, I encourage myself when I read stuff like this. And it's been a long time since I go over these stories. I say, man, God, I have to be honest. That's my spirit right there.
Amen.
My spirit is, boy, I'll go to war. When we come back, let us all rejoice.
Amen.
Pass out the goods to everybody.
Yeah.
That's my spirit. I said, man, it's in me, God. You give me the spirit of David.
Amen.
Jesus.
Hallelujah.
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 And you need to know that about yourself.
Yeah.
Yes, sir. Yes, ma'am. I want you to see something here. I want you to see something. We're going to go to 1 Samuel. And we're going to start over here at verse 21. And David came to the 200 men, which were so faint that they could not follow David, whom they had made also to abide at the brook Besor. And they went forth to meet David and to meet the people that were with him. And when David came near to the people, he saluted them. David did now. Now, mind you, see, they have just come back from conquering the Amalekites. And these 200 men, they're sitting out here guarding the supplies, and they grew faint. One reason or one way or another. Don't know why. Are you following me? Because you got to understand, David didn't even know it really was the Amalekites until some boy came and told him.
Some boy came and told me, and the boy made David swear to him and promise to him that he wouldn't kill him and wouldn't turn him over to his king, and that's how they can kill him. Amen. I mean, what traitors people are today.
Yeah.
The little boy didn't have enough strength to go on, so he left him out in the desert to die. 3 days, 3 nights, didn't have no food, didn't have no water, nothing. And they picked him up, and they fed him. They fed King David and them fed this man a meal that we would despise today. Gave him fig cakes and raisins, water and bread. Today we want Kentucky Fried Chicken, pizza and cake. You know, give me some chocolate cake, some yellow cake with white icing, some soda pop. Amen. But this, see, you understand, these are people of honor. Even if they was in the heathen tribe, they had a way of honoring in.
Yeah.
What spirit we've learned today, brother and sister. So here we are, David meeting the people who God is the supplies. And then as we go on 22nd verse of 1 Samuel 30. Then answered all the wicked men and men of Belial. Well, wait a minute. What in the world are men of Belial doing with David? Come on, brothers and sisters.
Amen.
Huh? It says, then that's all the wicked men. We're going to find out who the wicked men is now. And the men who are serving other gods.
Right.
The wicked men just happen to be the selfish ones.
Yes.
And the men of Belial are the ones who got another god while they acting like they're serving your god.
Right.
Yeah. Uh-huh. Of those that what went with David.
Yes.
Now, come on now. Wait a minute. Wait a minute. These supposed to all be Israelites here. Wait a minute. Hebrews now. Wait a minute. Wait a minute. Talking about men of Belial. Wicked men.
Amen.
All right. Let's find out the reason why the Bible said it was wicked.
Yes.
Huh? Why some was a Belial. And said, look what these wicked men, the men of Belial said, because, talking about the people who met David back from the battle and the war, who guarded the supplies, the ones who grew faint, because they went not with us, we will not give them aught of the spoil that we have recovered.
Right.
Say to every man his wife and his children that they may lead them away and depart. I tell you, the only thing we'll give them, you can have your wife and your children, but you ain't getting none of the spoils. The word of God said these men are wicked.
Yes, they are.
The word of God said these men are Belial.
Yes, they are.
Did y'all hear what I said?
Amen.
God's word said these men were wicked.
Yes. Amen.
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 That's right.
Calling them lesser men because they couldn't go to war. I'm trying to tell you, what's going on? What in the world is in man's spirit today? What's in their hearts? I tell you what would happen if somebody wasn't there to watch supplies, you wouldn't have nothing to come back to.
Right.
Amen.
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 Uh-oh.
Uh-huh.
Won't you just go on and say, admit it, we done fell prey to that spirit.
Yeah, we have.
Yeah, we have.
Yes, sir.
We done fell prey to that spirit.
Yeah.
I'm sorry. If there come time for us to go to war, I expect all the men, 40, 50 and under, I expect y'all to snap up, straddle up, and let's go.
Yeah.
All the rest of you older men, sit back here and guard the women and children.
Yeah.
That's what I expect.
Yeah.
Look at them now.
Amen.
And you'll be doing your part too.
Amen.
Boy,
yeah.
But God said in his word that these men were wicked.
Yeah.
And they were with David.
Yeah.
Said they were men of Belial. And they were with David.
Yeah.
They actually went to war.
Yeah.
Fought with him and stuff. But they were with David.
Yeah.
And said, I tell you, the only thing you give these no good oxygen takers, worms and maggots of men who ain't got enough strength to lift up a 5-pound weight, just give these maggots their wives and children back. We, the spoils are ours. Boy, I despise that spirit. So did David, too. David did, too. He despised that spirit, boy. Amen. Then said David, ye shall not do so. I'm surprised he even called him my brother.
Amen.
My brethren. With that which the Lord have given to us. Come on, David. Tell him.
Yeah.
Tell them. Tell them. If it wasn't for the Lord said, pursue. If it wasn't for somebody having faith and seeking after God and say, go get them and you're going to recover, you wouldn't even did this. Amen. The Bible said, by faith. And by faith, the children of Israel crossed over the Red Sea, dry ground, walked all the way through the thing. It wasn't by their faith, but it was by Moses' faith. It wasn't by their faith, it was by Moses' faith. They were too busy hollering and screaming, the Egyptians are coming, the Egyptians are coming. Oh, woe is us, you brought us out here to die.
Amen.
Moses said, stand still, see the salvation of the Lord. And they were all baptized. Oh yes they were. Oh yes they were. It wasn't somebody having on a righteous garment, seeking out to God, and God giving them a green light and say, go ahead and pursue them. You're going to recover all. See, the problem today is that man still thinks that he's doing everything on his own. Huh? I'm telling you, the sun rises on the just as well as the unjust. Amen. I'm telling you, the blessings fall on the just as well as the unjust. Amen. Amen. I'm telling the rich, drink the same water as the poor.
Yep.
Amen.
Uh-huh. Amen.
And I'm telling you today, well, people done forgot God.
Yeah. That's right.
And David's putting them in right perspective.
Amen.
Amen. Amen. The Lord giveth. And the Lord taketh away. That's in proper context right there. Blessed be the name of the Lord. And God is the giver of all good gifts and perfect gifts. Amen. And David letting them know, if it wasn't for the Lord, we wouldn't even have our wives, our sons, our daughters, and our cattle, our asses, and anything. As if you done did something. Suppose God take the breath out of your body, now you brag about how much you're doing. Amen. Then said David, you shall not do so, my brother, with that which the Lord hath given us, who have preserved us. I tell you who have the Lord had. And deliver the company that came against us into our hand. Tell me David is not in proper order and perspective. Tell me David don't know who the deliverer is. He know who the deliverer is, don't he? For who will hearken unto you in this matter? But as his part is that goeth down to the battle, so shall his part be that tarrieth by the stuff.
Yes. Amen.
They shall part alike.
Amen.
Ain't no such thing, you getting more than me and I'm getting more than you.
Amen.
No, everybody gonna get the same thing. How about that?
Yeah.
Boy, don't you know some folk are mad?
Oh, yeah.
Huh? And not only that, when David said that, look what happened. Hey, this became everlasting law, an ordinance. And it was so from that day forth that he made it a statute and an ordinance for Israel unto this day. Then David went back and returned to Ziklag. Had done found out Saul had been slain. That's right. Now I want to let you know, somebody else, another boy came talk to him. Because see, the Philistines were coming out fast on Saul and Jonathan and the rest of Saul's sons.
Amen.
And Saul seen them, so he fell upon his sword. Then come this little Amalekite boy. And Saul said, I pray you smite me. He might have, was he Philistine? He said, I pray you smite me. He's a young man. You got to understand, we call 16, 17, 18, 19-year men, they boys. Bible call them young men. And so you know what happened? Here's Saul right here, and the Philistines are coming hard upon him. And Saul telling this, that, hey, smite me, I pray you. Kill me. So you know what he did? Saul was already going to die anyway. He went ahead and put the sword to him and killed him. So he hightails it on over to David with his crown.
thinking he done did something right. How many times we done that? But we're doing that, we're just right in our own eyes. Huh? If David is not going to raise his hand up to smite God's anointed, then who are you? I encourage myself. He comes over to David and said, he go to the crown, and David said, tell me what happened. Well, the Philistines were coming hard up on Saul, and Saul smelled on it, fell on his sword, and he asked me to go ahead and kill him. He's already going to die anyway. So I smote him. David called somebody over and said, kill his man.
Amen. That's right.
And then David said, Saul's blood going to be on your hands.
Amen.
How is it that, what kind of stuff you concocting in the spirit of your mind? Raise up your sword against God's anointed.
Amen.
Bible
Amen.
Said David weep for Saul.
Yeah.
Uh-huh. He sure did.
Yeah.
Said he weep for him. I wonder what kind of spirit is in us nowadays.
Come on.
Huh? Look at our raunchy, defiled attitudes on things today. We don't know how to think.
Amen.
We think just like the way some of these people thought.
Yeah.
Right in their own eyes.
Yeah.
And some of the same thinking and attitudes are in effect today.
Amen.
Not in the world, in the church.
Amen.
Think the same way.
Amen.
Unless somebody stand up and holler and scream and shout and tell them this is what the Lord said, point them to the right place, we all be just like them.
Amen.
Amen. Somebody going to raise up a standard of holiness.
Amen.
Put God's people in remembrance.
Amen.
So we'll know how to think. That's why God say you be transformed by the renewing of your mind. In other words, if you want to be transformed, you put my word. Put my word deep down in your heart and get that real transformation that's going to take place. You want to know me? Know my word. You want to know how to act and think? You want to be able to tell that somebody is wicked? You want to be able to tell they belie? You want to tell somebody selfish? Know my word.
Yes.
You're going to know all men then.
Amen.
Because their actions are going to betray them. You're going to find out they ain't serving God like they thought they are.
That's right. Amen.
Amen. Come on, brother. That's the reason why people look at me and call me all kind of stuff and stuff, because I can see the spirit that they're operating in. Because they don't line up with what I've learned in God's word.
Amen.
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 Amen. It ain't no in between. Either you're serving God or you're serving Satan.
Amen.
Amen.
That's right.
And I don't mind telling you that a lot of times I have to stand alone and encourage myself.
Yes.
All right. Amen. A lot of times when you make judgment, people go mute on you.
Yeah.
Get the dumb and deaf spirit.
Uh-huh.
Amen. You might find that happening with you.
Yes.
People go mute on you.
Right.
Get dumb and deaf. Don't know that it's not a biblical saying, but silent is a consent to agreement.
Yes. Amen.
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 Amen. Talking to the brethren this morning in the shower house.
Yes.
I said, brother, you're going to have to learn how. And you're going to have to know that your spirit is a funnel.
Mm-hmm.
Everything that is being said, whether you receive it or not, it's going down into that funnel. Everything is being said, and your ear's sitting there listening. It is sitting there listening. It's going into your heart, into your spirit. Amen. Do you understand? Well, I said, let me give you a natural example, because the Bible does say first that which is natural, then that which is spirit. Maybe you understand what I said. I said the sisters, they wash dishes over in the dining hall. They put a screen over the sink where the water goes down. The screen is there to let certain things through. Amen. And to keep certain things from coming in. And when they finish, they can take the screen that's got all the junk that they didn't want to go down into the drain, you know, to clog it up, to back up. They take the screen and then empty it out and throw it in the trash, because they don't want that stuff to get in to the drain. That's the same way your spirit is. There are things you need to have. You need to have a screen on your spirit, brothers and sisters. You need to be very careful what you let go in to your ears. Because whether you like it or not, everything that is being said, everything that you hear, it is going down into your spirit. I don't care how much you want to ignore and say that it is not so. It is so. Just because you give mental assent, that don't mean it's not happening. I can't tell you how many stuff we have heard, let it go down into our spirit, and affects it, didn't end up clogging us up spiritually. Can't even worship God. Can't even praise the Lord. Can't give him the praise that worship due. After all, he the one that gave you the strength to lie down, the strength to rise up in the morning. Amen. He the one that give you the blessings of the Holy Spirit to call on his name. You got to be careful what you allow into your funnel. Your spirit. Whether you like it or not, and if you ain't got no governor screen on your opening, everything is going to go in it. You need to know that, brother and sister. Well, ain't nothing going in the mind. That's what the sink said, too. The sink ain't got no screen in it. It says, ain't nothing, everything ain't going down in here. A little while later, we find out that there's something backed up in it. You know, there's one thing about a drain, though. When it gets backed up, it starts to stink like the stuff that went down in it. Yes, sir. Yes, ma'am. Is that the reason why a lot of people got stinky spirits? Don't allow too much stuff to go down in us. But I'm telling you what, you know, if you keep a screen on you, you can encourage yourself. Amen. You keep a screen on you, you can keep out the nasty stuff. The stuff that ain't supposed to go down in there, and you can keep yourself squeaky clean. Don't need no Drano. Amen. Hallelujah. Praise the Lord. Oh, that's a true brother and sister. We need to encourage ourselves. I keep telling you, everything that's going on in life, right here in this book. Amen. I'll tell you what I'm going to do. I'm going to read 25th verse. And it was, remember we were talking about the origin, 26th verse. And when David came to Ziklag, he sent of the spoil unto the elders of Judah, even to his friends, saying, behold, a present for you of the spoil of the enemies of the Lord. Isn't that something? Isn't that something? Isn't that something? Isn't that amazing how that when we get blessings around here, the first thing we do is call people and say, you want some? We call them our friends, but we find out they don't want to be our friends. Huh? Isn't that something? Our attitude and our spirit, just like, just right there, just right here. Isn't that amazing? Sometimes we doing something, don't even know why we're doing it. Find it right there in the book. Pro and con.
Amen. Yeah.
We usually find the pro. We don't too much look for the con.
Right. Amen.
Yeah, you better start acknowledging the truth.
Amen.
When you hear God's word speaking, that's your governor, your screen.
Amen.
You can't just sit there idly by. Just like you can't sit there in a gossip session idly by and think you ain't going to be affected by that garbage. Uh-oh. Yes, sir. Yes, ma'am. Them which were in Bethel, and to them which were in Ramoth, and them which were in Jatar. It goes all the way down, and it lets you know that David, he went out and he gave out to all these people and all these presents from the spoil. That must have been a lot of spoils. What does that tell you, brother and sister? I can't tell you how many times how often I speak to Sister Carol. How I tell her that, boy, when, you know, I know God is, he's already blessing us. But y'all understand, brother and sister, we're actually going to see God's blessing on us. Good measure pressed down, shaking over and running over. We're going to see it out. We're going to be able to see God's blessing so much around it that we ain't going to have the room enough to receive it. So what do? You give it away. Who you give it away to? You give it away to all those that are without that have loved you and supported you and stood with you. Yeah. Yeah. Don't you know that it is more blessed to give than to receive? And don't you know you can't beat God's given. Yes, sir. I tell you what, everybody blessed David, they was blessed. Yes, sir. Everybody cursed David, they were cursed. Amen. And that's why God said, I will bless them that bless you. And I will curse them that curse you. And that's why I keep saying over and over again, we're going to find out who's serving God. And I say that with boldness. We're going to find out who's serving the Lord Jesus. We are going to find out.
Hallelujah.
So I pray to God bind us together. That we don't have a mind like this where I didn't go to war, so I don't get nothing. No, no, brothers, it ain't the way it works. No, no, we all in this together. I tell you one thing, I'm sure that the women and children was glad that these men came and got them. They ain't care who it was, come get us, get me out of here. Amen. Yes, sir, yes, ma'am. Amen, brothers and sisters. So I hope we learn a lot from it. But I tell you what, sometimes you're going to have to encourage yourself.
Right.